All right, Revelation 13. Go back there. I'm going to read the verses again briefly. Now, y'all bring your outline with you? Wave them at me. I'm getting nervous. Some of you did, anyhow. Revelation 13. We have been preaching, and boy, I have bogged down here. This, I think, is the fifth sermon. We've been preaching about the unholy Trinity. See, God's a Trinity. How many agree with that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Bible says there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now, I know that some Bibles leave that out. Some of us ask, why do you fight for the integrity of the Scripture? Because I see folks taking Scripture out to appease themselves and to propagate a false doctrine. Good preaching, Reverend. That might not get some good news through Christendom, but that ought to be good here at Taze Valley Baptist Church. But God's a Trinity, but Satan himself is a Trinity. And we've been talking about the unholy Trinity. The dragon, which is the devil, is a imitator of God. How many agree with that? He wants to dethrone God. See, God cast him out. And then the beast, or the first beast, is a imitator of Christ. But now we're talking about verses 11 through 18. And we're talking about a third individual of the unholy Trinity. And he is called the false prophet. Jesus said this, and it's really important that you hear this. Many false prophets are coming. Hey, there's false prophets in our land today. Preaching a social gospel. A new gospel. Years ago, and I don't mind preaching this and saying this, and if it gets somebody aggravated that left the church years ago, they'll just have to get aggravated. So I ain't messing with it. I'm preaching the truth. But there's a group that left. I don't know why they left. Just left. But after they left, guess what? Why they left? They started a movement, and their movement is another gospel. And they said the gospel we preach is not the right gospel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of grace of God is the only gospel. See, I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I know some people are. I'm not going to fuss with you. But the grace of God saved the Old Testament, saves the New Testament, and will save the tribulation saints. It's the grace of God. They wash their robes white in the blood of Christ. So I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. But I believe in the real, true gospel. Paul said, if a man preach another gospel, it's not surprising to me that folks preach another gospel. Because they did then. He said, but let them be accursed. Now I want to say this. This is strong preaching. There's only one gospel can get you to heaven. Amen. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel. Amen. The preaching of the cross. And you must, listen to me, you must preach repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear this. You cannot repent without faith. And you can't have faith without repentance. You'll never turn to God until you turn by faith and repentance. And I want to say this, would you agree with me? That's not preaching much. We're talking about the false prophet here. But Jesus talked about many false prophets. Hey, I want to tell you what's absent from most preaching. I know I'm bogging down, but I think you need to hear this. We see a lack of preaching on repentance. We just don't hear it. And here's what I say. Now listen carefully. Because there's a lack of preaching on repentance and faith, there's a lack of conversion. That's the byproduct. If you don't preach the true gospel, what you're going to have is a church full of unredeemed people. And by the way, you really repent and you really have faith, you really will be changed. Am I preaching? Now, I know I'm bogged down, but I think we ought to deal with this false prophet thing.
Some
people say, "Hey, I'm a Joe Osteen fan." How can you be a Joe Osteen fan when he don't even preach against sin?
Yeah. Tell about it, preacher.
And by the way, you know what the problem? Your problem is not just you're going to hell. That's a byproduct of your problem. Our problem was sin. And the only way to be redeemed from sin is in repentance and faith. And any other gospel is a false gospel given by false prophets.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Man. Am I with you? You with me? So let's, and I'll go quickly with the outline. I'm not going to re-preach what I did, but I will give you a few comments in the outline, go back verse by verse. But let's look at verse number 11. And we talked about the personality of this beast last week. And beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, what he displayed, he came with two horns. Now, the first beast had 10 horns. And many crowns. This beast has two horns and no crowns. And he's a powerful leader. But he's a gentleman of faith. See, the Antichrist is going to have a one world government led by the Antichrist. And a one world faith led by the false prophet. And if you don't see this one world faith coming today, you're blind. Now, somebody asked me a question last week, so I'm going to answer tonight. I missed it last week. I didn't. Like I said, I rushed through a lot of this last week. And I want you to hear me. Let me tell you what this false church. I told you that this false prophet will produce a false church. And that false church is the universal church. The universal church. You know who the universal church is. And here's what happened. There was a man named Martin Luther who climbed up the holy stairs on his knees, thinking that punishment of his body would please God. And then one day, Andrew, he done that. And he saw the vanity in it. And the wickedness in it. And when he got up there, he said this statement that's mentioned four times in your Bible. The just shall live by faith. So here's what happened. We had a Protestant Reformation. They left the mother church. But now there is a movement to bring that group of people back to the mother. But not just, hey, by the way, I want all y'all to look at me. Well, this is church history. This is church teaching. I want y'all to hear this. We Baptists were never a part of the Protestant Reformation. The true Baptists. And by the way, they've been called several different names in history. Anabaptists, publicans. I could give you several. But they are the true church.
Amen.
The true local church. And you hear me. And by the way, there's some Baptists today that's going to go join Mother too. That ain't preaching the gospel. And what is happening is the movement, they're getting back to the universal church. Hey, by the way, there's a movement within that church bringing all these churches together. They don't preach against that anymore.
Not just the churches.
Yes. That's what they want. You know, warning. And I know it sounds good and it's got a lovely label and it's packaged well. And I'm going to say something that's packaged well that's as false as it can be. Jesus gets us. Just watch some of the message of that Jesus gets us. I mean, that's packaged well. Oh, it's all over the TV. You'll hear that commercial how many times a day. And it's packaged well. Man, I tell you what. You know, if I'm going to package something else, and it's packaged well, isn't it? I mean, my goodness. Anybody want Jesus to get? By the way, he does get us. But not the way they put it. By the way, the gospel doesn't change because he gets us. But poor anybody. I know I know what you're saying. You're bogging down. But I am saying some things really needs to be said today in this modern liberal world that we're living in.
Amen.
Where religion today is so weak and so mushy and so muddy and so unclear. The one thing you can say about Taze Valley Baptist Church, it's not unclear tonight. You repent or you perish. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It's the gospel of grace that saves you. There's nothing unclear about that. Now, this false prophet, let me continue. By the way, you can't judge a book by its cover. He'll look real passive, but he's rotten, and he speaks as a dragon. Then we talked about the power of the beast. He exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, and the scope. He's a facilitator of a vast worldwide religion. By the way, this false prophet, here's what he's going to be able to do. He's going to be able to take the Jewish faith and those that's in the Muslim faith, those in the Catholic faith, those that's in the other false religion faith, and convince them to come under his banner. And he'll do it by his performance that we talked about last week, and I'm getting off that, verses 13 through 15. He'll do it by miracles. Look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire to come down from heaven. Who's he emulating there? He's emulating the two witnesses who probably are Moses and Elijah. And he's emulating Elijah's miracle. And when the world sees that, they're saying he's of God. And he's pointing everybody to the Antichrist and saying, Antichrist, he's of God. Y'all with me? I'm coming. And his motive, his sole motive, is to get people to worship the Antichrist and the dragon. And I want you to know what's going to happen now. He is going to, him and the Antichrist together are going to walk into the rebuilt temple. Tribulation temple that we saw in Revelation 11 and walk in the middle of the tribulation period and blaspheme God, and they're going to follow after a forerunner of the Antichrist called Antiochus Epiphanes of, I think, 170 or something like that B.C., and I could be a little off on that, so, and who himself went into the temple, took a sow, and offered that sow that is totally against Judaism and blasphemed God, and they are likewise going to blaspheme God. But I want to say this today, and this may be bold, this might be a little brash, but there's a lot of preaching going on through America and this world that is nothing more than blasphemy against Almighty God. But it's a blasphemers. Amen. Now, let's move on into our study to verses 16 through 18. And this is where I wanted to reach out to you tonight and try to close this chapter. And we're going to talk about something you've talked about a lot in your, and we've all talked about. And it's found in 16 through 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now, let me go back to 15 for a minute. And he had power to give life. By the way, remember I told you last week, Nebuchadnezzar had an image for folks to bow down in universal worship. Well, the dragon and the beast and the false prophet's going to have an image. But I want you to know something. This image of the beast is going to speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So whatever, they're going to have an image, and this image is going to come to life. Now, your imagination is like my imagination. Is it a form of what we see today of AI? I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating like you would speculate. All I know is everything you're seeing in this world today in innovation. And by the way, most of the people behind that innovation, check their history out. They're ungodly pagans. Bill Gates is an ungodly pagan. Somebody help me preach. You said, you shouldn't have said that. Well, can't take it back now. Long gone. You know what Bill Gates said 20 years ago? To get our agenda started for a one world government? He said, what we need is a good pandemic. And by the way, in 2020, till now, you've never seen our government take more control of us than you see now. And by the way, that's just a picture of what's going to happen during the Antichrist, who will take total control, and I'll show you that right now. Now look at me. Stay with me. Let me show you the total control. Are y'all with me? Somebody's learning something right now. Y'all all right? Let's look at verse 16. And he calls us all, A-L-L, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might, look at this one world dominance. No man might buy or sell, say that he has this mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. So let's look at this mark of the beast tonight. I'm going to give you three things and then four things by way of application and be closed. Verse 16, it's a mark of identification. There's speculation. I don't know how it's going to be done, but let me tell you what's out there right now that'll get the job done. It might be some kind of barcode system that is tattooed in the skin. or a laser tattoo that's invisible to the naked eye but only can be seen through the proper computer and the proper analysis. Right now, science has developed tiny little microchips the size of the grains of rice. These chips can carry your medical records and your financial records and all your financial records in a simple grain of rice put into your hand. They already are doing that to pets. They are doing it to some in the military already, those little chips. But right now, the next thing out, and this sounds good and it sounds warm and fuzzy, and by the way, we'll buy it because we're a bunch of gullible idiots. I'll tell you what we're buying. You know what they're going to do next? Let me tell you, this is happening. Right now, they're experimenting to put in into babies' hands and foreheads. And here's what they're saying about it. The reason they say it is, if a baby gets lost, we can find them because we've got the chip. Don't that sound warm and fuzzy? You buy that? We don't want to lose no babies. We want to find them if we lose them. So, that's government control. Huh?
The Shriners is behind it too.
Oh, yes. On lock, stock, and barrel. And I can show you where that could be a tool and bring everybody to get together. I won't get into that tonight. Now, let's look at the scope of this mark. Look at the scope. I'm trying to hurry. The scope of the mark, it causes all. That word causes means to force. They're going to force everybody to take the mark of the beast. Now, will everybody take it? No. But they're going to force everybody. And then the situation of the mark is going to be in the right hand or in their foreheads. A stamp, an imprint, something carved. And the source of the mark, look at verse 17. He, that's the false prophet, causes the world to worship the Antichrist. By the way, the slave in the early Roman Empire, the slaves would get a mark. So they would fall down and worship Caesar. Well, I want you to know what's going to happen in this case is the unbelievers are going to get a mark, and the purpose is then for them to fall down and worship the dragon and the devil and the false prophet. Y'all with me? Verse 17. Secondly, this mark is a mark of isolation. The power of isolation. This mark will be tied to the economy. People were required to get the mark of the beast to be able to buy or sell. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. How many people will do that? Just about everybody. By the way, you get one gas. How many remember the gas crisis back in the 70s? I never forget that. I had just came to Taze Valley Baptist Church as the pastor. And I heard a couple of my church members done that, but I won't say their names. I think they're in heaven now, I hope. But they got in the gas line and got in a fight with somebody. Because I think a man hit a woman because she jumped line. What are you going to do when you have to have a mark to buy or sell? Don't tell me people are not going to do it. Because we're in a greedy, selfish, prideful world, and people are out for me. Hey, there won't be a lot of convincing. And the purpose of the isolation, the Antichrist will use the mark of the beast to control the world. Amen. He's going to control the whole world with the mark of the beast. Are y'all with me? I want y'all to know something. Hear me out. right now in our country, there's a push going on. The Biden administration has really pushed it in the first 3 years of his administration. And I'm not, I'm just telling you the truth. And you can accept it or reject it. But here, he is pushing this right now. And y'all have heard about it. And if you haven't heard about it, you're going to hear about it. A cashless society. Do you know there's places you can go to that you cannot use cash? There's motel chains right now that won't take cash. There's gas stations that won't take cash. A couple of my favorite vacation spots, my wife and I like going to. Last year, she'll tell you, they had taken cash for every time we ever been there. But last year, no more cash, a card. Why a card? Why a mark? So if you have a mark, it's got to be identified with a card. And guess what? The government has total control. Amen. What this pandemic has shown me is it don't take much for the government to get control. Amen. And I hate to think of how many lies they told us. But I don't want to go there. I don't want to get too radical tonight. I'm already radical enough. The persecution of the isolation. There'll be many who refuse to accept the mark, and they will be killed. And by the way, they won't be able to buy, and they won't be able to get clothing, and they won't be able to get medicine, but they'll defy it, and the false prophet will cause them to die. That's why most people saved during the tribulation period, other than the sheep nations, will be martyrs. Read Revelation 7, that whole group that's made, washed their robes white in the blood of Christ, is martyrs. That's why it says in Revelation 5 or 6, when they had the persecution of the martyrs, that the first martyrs, they were under the soles of the altar, said, how long will you wait till you avenge our death until the rest of your fellow brethren has followed what you followed? And by the way, even today, there's a hatred toward the church. Used to be the church in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s, and up until the 90s, was reverenced. By the way, it didn't bother presidents to have people like Billy Graham and other great evangelists into the White House. Now, if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or something like that, you can get in. But men of faith are not welcome in our White House anymore. Good preaching, Reverend. Then thirdly, is a mark of information. It reveals the name of the beast. We're told that the mark, look at verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. So it reveals the name of the beast. And that number there is 666. It reveals the nature of the beast. 666. See, Nebuchadnezzar made an idol. How many's ever thought about this? In Daniel 3, you know how big it was? 60 cubits by 6. Hey, you ever thought about Goliath, the Superman of the Old Testament? He was 6 cubits and a span tall. And he carried a spear of 600 shekels. God's number is 7. 7, 7. But the beast's number is 6, 6, 6. Now, can I take what I've given you and give you a little application sermon to go with it, with what I just gave you? Are y'all ready? What do you call, Preacher Smith, this 666? I want to tell you what I call it, Sean. Hell's gate pass. It is for those that refuse God and refuse to repent. All these plagues are going to come, Andrew, and they still won't repent. And by the way, we're living. Hey, I'm going to say this. I know I started the sermon off with it, but I'm going to close with it. We're living in a day of less repentance. Your preacher sees less repentance today than he's ever seen before. And that's why we got less conversions. That's why we got superficial Christianity. That's why we got people who say they're saved on Sunday, but they'll go out and drink all week and gamble all week and womanize all week. And then Sunday come back for a little other taste of it. And I've came to church, I paid a little bit of money, and here I am. I want you to know it's more than that. It's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus. And it produces a change. Am I preaching? These people won't repent. Now, let me give you four things about Hell's Gate Pass. It's some of what I've already said, but I kind of got it in a little different twist, okay? Kind of summing it up. It's an ecumenical mark. This mark is going to ensure a one-world political system and a one-world religious system. An ecumenical mark. Are y'all all with me? Whether it's laser tattoos, a literal number easily forged, scannable computer chip, fingerprint scan, genetic code like DNA, or voice pattern. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I do know that it will be able to be covered. It's ecumenical. And also, it's an economic mark. You remember after World War II, there was a lot of rationing. Right now, as folks, the heads to the ATM, the credit cards and the debit cards, and that's the big thing now. And as I said, if I can take your money from you, your cash, I can monitor the rest. I can't monitor Grandpa with $100,000 stuck away under a pillow. And the government knows that. And to get control of you, there will be a day. Look at me. There'll be a day. And we're probably going to see it ourselves. I think we're seeing it now. There'll be a day. There'll be no such, you'll never see one of them again. Because see, there's going to be a one world monetary system, and they've got to get rid of that. What happens, Denny, if I take your money? I got control of you. Am I preaching? Amen. He's all that won't help you. Are you out of your mind? Bill Gates said, we just needed one pandemic. The pandemic of 2020 changed everything in our world. And it's still changing. It's an economical mark. Then it's an enumerated mark. 666. It'll be put in your skin somewhere. And you can't buy without it. You can't sell without it. You can't do anything without it. And by the way, listen to me. And those that don't take it, the Antichrist is going to kill them. And the false prophet is going to kill them. Amen. And I've read Fox's Book of Mockers. I've read Bunyan's book on martyrs. And I want all y'all to know what happened in the dark ages is just nothing compared to what's going to happen. I can prove in your Bible in Zechariah that 66% of Israel will be wiped out and killed. Only a third's going to live. That's why some dear brother wrote the book, Israel's Final Holocaust. You think the Holocaust of the 40s was terrible, ruthless. But this time, they're going to try to destroy every one of them. And only a third's going to be left. And that's God's chosen people. And you know what bothers me? I don't know how many does this bother you on the United States campuses, the anti-Semitism that's here. It's awful. And by the way, that is what they're trying to do, is do it through education of our children. And by the way, we've got some kids today that hate Israel. They are brainwashed. And it's starting right in the secondary school, right in the elementary schools, right all the way through school. And it's right now the main piece in our colleges and universities. And some of them said, well, I don't see how this is going to happen. I don't see how there'll be another college. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't hard for me to believe at all that there's going to be another group. Hey, Hamas right now, I hope Israel goes ahead and kills every one of them. Because Hamas wants to kill them. And if you're in here and you deny the first Holocaust, you're out of your mind and you ought not be left alone. You go follow Stephen Anderson if you want to and follow the same pit he is. He's wrong and you're wrong. He's false. That's a false teacher. He's a Holocaust denier. He ain't Jehovah. He says he's a Baptist. He's wrong. Go to D.C. Go over to Jerusalem and go to the Holocaust Museum and come to me and tell me there wasn't a Holocaust. But there's going to be a greater Holocaust. Because this world hates the Jew. And because they hate the Jew, you know what? Jesus said they hated me, and Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was not a white-skinned American. Jesus was not a European. He came unto his own, and his own received not. You preach it tonight. The rejection of the Jews toward Christ made way for the Gentiles to be saved. But I want you to know, all Israel, those that are left, will be saved. And then lastly, it's an eternal mark. You get the mark of the beast, you're hell bound. You got your gate pass, and on your way to heaven, hell. But I'm going to tell you, there's one way to heaven. Amen. And that's God's eternal pass. To many as received him, gave him power to become the sons of God. The Bible said, he that heareth my words and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Hell's gate pass is 666. But I want you to know, heaven's gate pass is my name is written in the book of life. My question is, and I'm closing, is yours. I want to ask you a question. How many in this room know that you know that you know if you die tonight, you know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand high. Hold them up. Let me ask you, how many of you are not sure? How many of you, your life, right, life's repentance and you're not sure you're really saved? Slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Let's stand. I'll pray. Everybody raise your hand, I believe. I'm going to dismiss. After service, if you're not sure, you come up and see one of the pastors. How many got something tonight? Learn something tonight. We'll go to chapter 14 next week. Father, we love you. Thank you for the preaching of the word. I know what hell's gate pass is. But I'm glad on January 31st, 1973, I got an anniversary in just a few days. My name was written in heaven's book. And that's my date pass into the pearly white city. Into the new Jerusalem. Thank you, I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.